But tonight, we want to go to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1 is where we are. The book of Proverbs. Thank you, ladies. They're gone. All right. Well, wherever you are, thank you. All right, Ms. Carollo and Ms. Sylvia, she is maybe with the teenagers, I think. And so we're very appreciative of those. And glad Ms. Sylvia is able to be back with us and feeling better and so forth. All right, good. Well, last week, as you'll remember, I had the privilege of opening the Word of God to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 1 and looking at, well, my ambition was about 5 verses. I think I got, what, 2? Something like that, 1 or 2? And so that was a blessing to me, and not in the teaching of it necessarily. Well, that was a blessing for me too, but just studying the Word of God in that way. And so what I announced last time is that on these Wednesday nights that we're going through the book of Proverbs, we're going to take each chapter 2 weeks. The first week, I will do the teaching. I will pick out a portion of that chapter, and I'll do the teaching on that particular section of, let's say next time it'll be chapter 2. Next Wednesday night, as a matter of fact, it'll be chapter number 2. And I'll pick out a portion, already done that, that just has delighted my heart and helped me in my growth in the Lord. And so I want to share it with you. And so I'm going to do some further study on it just to mine out all I possibly can. It's exciting when you know what's in the Word of God and you just quite haven't found it yet. My best friend when I was in high school, his name's David Morris. He's been a missionary in South Africa now for, I guess, about 45, 46 years. And just a great guy, loves the Lord and so forth. His dad was a phenomenal geologist. He could read the land so well, as far as the contour of the land, the topography and all of that. He could tell you what was under the land. He could tell you if there was gold. He could tell you whether it was a significant amount of gold. He worked for U.S. Pipe and Steel. But he was a phenomenal geologist. He had people who would pay him to go up in an airplane, look at some property that they were thinking about buying or that they owned, and just said, what do you think? What kind of ore is under that ground? What would you speculate just from your knowledge of the topography, whether it's worth having or not worth having? And there was one lady that his son David told me about that it was the last one his company, he became so valuable to the company that they forbid him from flying anymore. For fear that in a small plane it might go down and they would lose their asset. And so, but the lady said, I don't know if she was going to buy it or had already bought it, but a large tract of land that she thought there might be gold in it just because of whatever, maybe some mining in earlier years or whatever. And he was able to go up and fly, and he said, yes, there is. From my perspective, there is gold there, but it's so deep that it will not be cost effective to go after it, at least at this point. You say, well, what are you telling us all about gold and your dad, your friend's dad and all of that? It's this, is that when you and I open the Word of God, there are always gems, there are always nuggets of truth. You don't have to wonder, do I have to dive down deeply? Now, when you do dive down deeply, oh, there's some real veins down there, and where you can really get in there and study and just immerse yourself in the principles of the Word of God. But even if you just got saved, just 2 days ago or a day ago or a year ago, whenever it is, if you will dare to dive into the Word of God and mine it, you don't have to have been to Bible college. That helps, no doubt about it. It gives some tools for getting in there and mining out those gems. Oh, but you can go like a gentleman that uses or a lady that uses the pen in the stream and say, oh, there's a nugget right there. Let me think about that. Let me look at it. Let me bite it, make sure it's real. Maybe not do that. But let me just make sure that I'm living according to that. So all that to say this, I hope your hearts will be excited about studying the Word of God. Now, let me ask you, how many of you guys studied or looked into Proverbs chapter 1 this week? How many? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. All right. So I'm going to sit down here momentarily. And gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to do just like we did before. That way it goes a little more quickly and there's not a lot of time invested in movement, but rather in the speaking of the Word of God. So, gentlemen, if you want to just come on the front rows, you might need to move the stands a little bit, but just come on where you are. All right, come on wherever you are. All right. All right, they're coming. All right. All right. Maybe we need to sing a stanza of Almost Persuaded. All right. All right, they're coming. All right, still coming. All right. And that's all right. If you don't have something, there's times when it's that way. And maybe it was a very busy week for you, and you're just, maybe you forgot about it and just said, oh my. But we have a good group of men here. And so what we're doing, for those of you who maybe weren't with us last Wednesday night, is I've asked these men to go back to chapter 1. Okay, I taught one passage. I've asked them as God would direct them as they're reading the text. It may be the same text, and I didn't mention something. They got something out of it I didn't see. And so just to come, and if two or three or four or five of them, six of them pick the same text, that's okay. That's why it's in the Bible, so we see it over and over and over. Amen? Amen. Are you excited about the Bible? Amen. Are you excited about being up close? No, I'm not going to ask that. I'm not going to ask that. All right. But here's what I'd ask us to do. We're going to have a word of prayer. And I'm just going to ask Brother Earl Jury from where you are, okay, back there in the South 40, if you will just ask God to help us, gentlemen and ladies alike, whether you're on the front, no matter where you are, gentlemen and ladies alike, to say, Lord, I'm hungry tonight. I fed from your word already today, and that was delightful. I thank you for that. But Lord, I'm hungry tonight. A little dessert would be wonderful. And so as each of these men come up, and this is not an easy task for them, but I hope that we'll get accustomed to the men of the church being men of the word. And I think we already are, but more, even more as we go along. And that way we'll be able as men and ladies, but men especially doing the teaching, to rightly divide the word of truth as a congregation. It won't have to just be a pastor steering the vessel, but it'll be a whole group of men who've grown in the word and with one heart and one mind. And by the way, that is the Bible principle as an assembly, with one heart, one mouth, and one mind to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm eagerly anticipating. So let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Jury if he would guide these men and just whatever the Lord has laid on their hearts to present it to us. But it is to the glory of God and for our hearts. So Brother Earl, if you'll word our prayer. And then here's what we'll do. We'll start here with Brother Allen and just work our way down and maybe not preach a message, but maybe 5 minutes worth or something like that, a principle that God's laid on your heart. So Brother Earl, if you'll word our prayer for us, please.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay, Brother Allen, if you'll come, please.
Good evening. Y'all know I'm not great with speech and everything, but last week we know the lesson that Pastor Bray gave. Proverbs is wisdom and, come on now.
Knowledge, understanding.
Instruction, right. So I've got a little story to tell beforehand. And has anybody ever had to learn anything the hard way? Okay, I normally do twice, and then I get it the third time. You know, in school you heard, you know, the dog ate my paper. You know, my grandmother passed away for the sixth time. You know, different things like that. But this is what happened to me this week. You can ask Michelle. My iPhone ate my notes, okay? For the last few weeks, Pastor Bray would be preaching, and I'd just go, oh, I'm just going to put that in notes and stuff like that. So I said, oh, Proverbs 1 every night about 7 o'clock, I'll just sit down and start, you know, putting a few things in after I read it. And I got to my little rough draft probably like Friday or Saturday, and I told it to Michelle. And then every night I would go back and I would work on it and work on it and work on it. And then last night it was like punctuation and everything. It was so good. I mean, I would have gave myself an A+. And then I don't know how I did it. I clicked on my phone like that. Everything turned yellow. And I said, oh, I need to click off of that. And when I clicked off of it, it all left. Every bit of it. So now I went back today and basically, I tried to rewrite some of the things that I had in there. So it is a little more compressed. And so my verse is Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. As some of y'all know, that I have a stepfather. My dad passed away when I was 2 years old, and so he's the only dad that I know. Growing up, I've got three sisters. And so, being the only guy in the family, I got in trouble a good bit. And it seemed like I got spanked every day. I mean, seriously, every day. And my mom would lay down the law, but as I got older, she would tell me things and she would spank me, right? But I would just laugh at her. You know, I was a bad little kid. I would laugh and my dad would come home, and he would take care of business. And so he was a carpenter by trade, and so he had a good, big, rough hand and a belt and a razor strap that a barber used. And so I normally saw one of those for punishment or discipline. But my mom, the worst thing she could do is say, I'm going to make y'all hug necks and kiss. And so we all quit then. You know, there was no doing anything different. Needless to say, this last week, the Holy Spirit showed to me through the verses of Proverbs 1 about our five senses. And I'm sure everybody could name them. It's hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and touching. And each of those senses, as a parent with small children, and even as a young Christian, you're using and trying to train those senses. If you break it down, you don't always have to spank. You can talk to them. You can show them things. You can do things in different ways. And those five senses are important, and God's wisdom as well. And, I just looked on the internet and I just saw something about five senses. And if I can read this, humans, like animals, rely on sensory information to navigate our world. The environment humans live in is often full of events, objects, and sensations that can be overwhelming and chaotic. Humans must sense what a certain situation entails and then use that information to act accordingly. And then I wrote, how can we use our senses for the glory of God? And so I was seeing this as if we lack in certain areas. Brother Steve Humphreys, you know, he's lost his ability to see. So that's one of the senses that he has lost. And so all of us, we have that ability somewhat, some with glasses, some contact, some have great eyes. But one day, God will give Steve Amen. Better than 20/20 vision. And so I was looking at it, trying to break it down into, in our lives, just not to dive a little deeper in when we're training someone, which one of those senses are being used more effectively. And if we go to Psalms 115, verse 2 through 7, it says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" I guess I'm supposed to wait. I'm not used to this stuff, so I hear pages turning. Verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat." And then verse 13 and 14, and close it out. "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children." So I see that as develop the senses of our body. Now, there's more senses than five, but those are the main five. But just develop them in your children and yourself to be a better witness for God. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Alan. Thank you for that. All right, Proverbs chapter 1. You're probably already there. And I'm going to talk a little bit faster than I normally do. We're going to move, only because I'm going to try to be brief. And you know the difficulty I have with that. Proverbs chapter 1, 1 says this, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Now, the Proverbs of Solomon, naturally we think of Solomon, but I think as a foundational element that we must keep in the forefront of our mind is this. Ultimately, and I'm not contradicting the scripture, but this was God's wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 and 4. Let's look very briefly at just a few things there. And I'm going to hop and skip around just to cover the, no disrespect to the text, but just to keep it brief. 1 Kings chapter 3 says this. Verse 5. "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee." Verse 9, Solomon answers that. He says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Verse 10, "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing." And verse 12, "Behold," this is God speaking, "I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee." This is God giving Solomon a wise and an understanding heart. And this talks about the extent, "so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." Next chapter, chapter 4, verse 29 says this. It's just affirmation. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart." That's, I believe, speaking of capacity. He enlarged his ability to take on even more wisdom, even as the sand that's on the seashore. "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite," and Calcol and Darda, the sons of Mahal, "and his fame was in all nations round about." Verse 32 is important. "And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And it goes on to speak of the character of some of those, but that's not important for what I'm trying to share tonight. Back to Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Where did those come from? They came from the Lord. We must never lose sight of this, that God is the source of all wisdom. God is pleased with those that desire and request his wisdom. We find that in the book of James. And God will, it is guaranteed that he will dispense his wisdom to those that are earnest in their desire and their request of his wisdom. Now, when you think of this, Proverbs of Solomon coming from him, does that not remind you of 2 Peter 1:21? "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." I think it's important as we go through this book study, which I'm very excited about,
This is God's wisdom invested in Solomon and then presented to us. Verse 2. Why? To know wisdom and instruction. Wisdom and instruction, very simply put. Instruction can be the information. Wisdom is what to do with it. Okay? We have some very wise people in this world. Problem is, they don't know, they don't have the correct information. Well, we also have a lot of people, a great deal of information is invested in them, but they don't have wisdom, and they don't know what to do with it. Praise the Lord that we have God's wisdom and his instruction. We have the information, and we have the guidance on how to use it in his holy Bible. And to know wisdom and instruction, verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding. I highly doubt that I am alone in my assessment in seeing or witnessing the fact that simply hearing God's words is sufficient. There are many people that come to Sunday school. There are many people that come to a preaching service. There are many people that listen to something on a radio or some other form of recording, yet they fail to live the life that was prescribed by God to live. Just hearing it is not sufficient. We must understand it, each one of us, myself included. Does that remind you of Acts 8:30? Philip with the Ethiopian eunuch. Chapter 8, verse 30 of Acts says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Understandest thou what thou readest?'" Reading is a good start. Memorization is also beneficial, but it's not the ultimate destination if we don't understand it. I have been very unpleasantly surprised on several occasions to find a lack of understanding from folks that have been saved for quite some time. This is not a criticism. If someone has recently been saved or if someone has come out of an unsaved home or a broken home, I'm not speaking condescendingly of these folks, but I've been very gravely disappointed when a pastor was in a position and he failed to understand simple, basic truths that God has presented because he was lazy. I don't have one in particular in mind, but I've been exposed to this before. They were lazy in their endeavors to follow the Lord. They were therefore lacking in their understanding. It's inexcusable. Sometimes a preacher or teacher is hastily put in position. Maybe it's a novice, and we're advised never to do that. Lay hands suddenly on no man, but it must be thoughtful, because the ultimate job of those teaching, those preaching, self-study, that we understand. Sometimes the responsibility is on the recipient. I can agree with Brother Allen that as a youngster, I was a rascal. There might still be some degree of rascalness in me, but I understand the responsibility that a failure to understand may be my fault. Maybe I'm not paying attention. Maybe I'm present in body, but my mind is somewhere else. We must understand what God has given to us. And let me close out with verse 3 and 4 to introduce some words, and then I'll give my closing thought here. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So I'd like to close with four words. And this to me is foundational, because you can plug this in, whether it's the rest of Proverbs or any other book of the Bible that you study. Please never lose sight of these four words: knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and discretion. And I'm not saying that at the expense of other words. I'm just trying to lay out a logical progression here. Knowledge deals with facts. It's an accumulation. If you split the word apart, take knowledge right down the middle, you have two words: know and ledge, like a shelf. Okay, forgive the elementary analogy here. But think of it this way: knowledge is an object sitting on a shelf. It's in storage. Think of it as the ledge of your mind. We have knowledge. So the analogy I'd like to present is a mechanic. A mechanic may memorize all the parts, their names, perhaps its part numbers, perhaps it's where they should be organized in the shelves of AutoZone or Advance Auto Part, O'Reilly, NAPA, and I'm not being sponsored, I'm just saying. you get the idea. That's knowledge. It's at the basic element of all these pieces and parts. But stack on top of knowledge is understanding. Understanding deals with the relationship of all of these pieces. It may be pieces, it may be words put together so that you have an understandable idea put into a a sentence. A mechanic, not everyone that works at the counter is a mechanic. They may take good care of the shop, but they don't know how to take care of a vehicle because they don't know how these things work together. Understanding is not only knowing what something is, but how it fits together with something else. Thirdly, wisdom. Wisdom, we must, whenever we talk about wisdom, you must never, ever lose sight that there is godly wisdom and there's the opposite, the enemy of godly wisdom, and that is the devilish, the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom that the devil is equipped with, and he is constantly trying to engage. So wisdom, we must always be very careful. It is a results-oriented thing to consider. Ecclesiastes 10:10 is one of the best examples that I have ever found to present the idea of wisdom. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says this, "If the iron be blunt," the iron speaking most likely of an axe, but you could also apply this to, say, a saw blade. "If it be blunt, and he do not whet the edge," you've heard of a whetstone, W-H-E-T, it's used for sharpening. "If you do not whet the edge, then he must put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." It's a results-oriented consideration. You have knowledge. You may know what a tree is. You may know what an axe is. But if you don't understand that you're to use a sharp edge to cut the tree down as opposed to the handle and bludgeon it until it falls, it takes wisdom. Chopping wood with a dull blade is equal to working harder than necessary for the same result. We need to be wise in all that we're doing. We need to be wise when we're sharing the gospel, when we're ministering, when we're praying, whatever it is. It should all be done with wisdom. The most output with the least input, getting the job done. But lastly and importantly, discretion is presented. And I believe that discretion is twofold. It's knowing how to do something, perhaps with great wisdom, but it also with it must have the moral and ethical right that is applied. What if in that example we have a mechanic that has knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? And they know what the pieces and parts are. They know how they work together. They even know the most efficient way to repair a vehicle. But what if you're lacking that moral and ethical perspective of that God demands, and that's used to swindle customers? It's used to cheat people. Perhaps it's cheating an employer because you know an efficient way to hide something. It's crafty. It's subtle. Discretion, I believe, is the distinction between right and wrong, and it has the character to choose the right. So, I have taken these elements and applied them to many, many things as I study God's words. I need knowledge. Here's some facts. Here's doctrine. Here's understanding. Here's where it's important with other truths. Here's wisdom. Here's how you need to apply it, and never losing sight of discretion. You better have that character built, talking to myself, and you better choose right. What good does it matter if someone goes to Bible school and brags about their education if they're not going to live a godly life with it? Not only is that a waste, but that is an opportunity to blaspheme the Lord and His holy words. So anyway, I have about 3 hours worth. I need to plug in and be done. So praise the Lord for His words.
Amen.
I'm looking at Proverbs 26 through 29. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call on me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did choose the fear, did not choose the fear of the Lord. I was going to go back to Kings 3 that Jess just covered, so I won't cover it again. But the point that I wanted to go there for was that, and Jess addressed this, Proverbs is the wisdom of God. he just distributed it through Solomon. And so as you go through it, sometimes you get a little lost and it gets a little deep and you got to do a lot of word study. And if your vocabulary is not real good, you got to do a lot of dictionary work. But even if you can just read through a couple of verses and extract what God wants you to learn out of those. If you got to use your dictionary, if you have to use a Strong's Concordance, look up the Greek, find out what it really means, it's worth it. Even if it's just one word sometimes. So you don't have to really get in the mindset that I got to learn the whole book. You just start at the beginning and go on. So I began to check on it. I like to cross-reference verses with other verses, compare the Word of God with other parts of the Word of God. And so I thought about James's teaching on wisdom. And James 3, 15 and 17, if you'll look at that real quick. I found that there was two kinds of wisdom. There's God's wisdom, and then the other kind that we're going to look at, I call the devil's wisdom. It doesn't say that here, but you can relate to it. And obviously, it all started back in the garden with Adam and Eve. And so they chose not to believe the Lord, they chose to believe the devil. And look what it cost us. Verse 15, chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, that's from God, which we saw that Solomon got from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to entreat, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And so I was in Malawi a few years back, and there was six of us men that went there to minister to the church, and they had a school, Christian school they started. Had about 80 high school students. And lo and behold, there's a mosque right behind the school. Every morning you get the call of the mosque. But it was our job every morning to give devotions for these 80 students. And my devotion, or my devotional for them was that not everybody's going to tell you the truth. And I tried to drill into them that the Bible, Amen. The Word of God, is truth. Amen. And you listen to it. Yes. And if they do that, then they'll gain wisdom. Amen. And hopefully they'll do that. It was a Christian school, so hopefully most of them will get some Bible teaching. But there's another area that Paul covered. It's Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The scripture, or Jesus taught us that, that finding heaven, finding God is a narrow path. And few there be that find it. The world is under condemnation for their lack of wisdom. They have the worldly wisdom, but they don't have the godly wisdom. And I used to be there. As a 17-year-old, I actually was saved. I went to a Baptist church, little church, and I got saved under the preaching of John 3:16. And that's when I began my journey with the Lord and to gain his wisdom. And it doesn't end. It'll go on till we're raptured. And so it's always new. You never get tired of it. And I need to make this real quick, but I need to hit two points here in the text. And that is verse 26, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Laugh, when I read through this years back, I always said, does God laugh? And if somebody would say, I don't know, I'd say, yeah, he does. It's in Proverbs. But then I got to study and laugh. It's not the laughter, ha, ha, ha. It's to laugh at, to have the position of derision. And so I looked up derision. It's actually to oppose. So when God laughs, he has them in derision. He opposes what they're doing. That's his laughter. You're not going to do that. You're not going to get away with that. And so verse 29, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes goes a lot with Proverbs, and I like the book of Ecclesiastes. And I actually believe that starting in verse 23 through 29 here, or 30, it's actually Solomon prophesying. He's actually given prophecy about God. And so his teaching here through, I believe, God giving him what to say, which he probably did in all of Proverbs. It says that they didn't choose the fear of the Lord. And that's just simply not being afraid of God, but they didn't choose to reverence God. They rebelled. And so we need to be careful that in reverencing God, that we don't rebel. We don't, because that's our human nature. We need to do like it said in Corinthians, seek after that wisdom that's good and profitable.
Good evening. Alan, I was thinking as you were telling your story of your phone there, I thought, that's my problem. I have an iPhone mind. Sometimes I must push the wrong button and it all is gone. So now I will try to remember and not erase it. I enjoy the book of Proverbs. Probably a number of years ago, so, when I was young, and I was young at one time, believe it or not, and I had someone challenge me to start reading the book of Proverbs. You know, it was one of those books I would read occasionally. He said, well, read every day, read in Proverbs the chapter that corresponds with the month or day of the month. So you read through Proverbs every month. And so I started doing that. You know, you think after a time or two through, you'd say, well, I've read this before, but you know,
right.
I see stuff that I never saw the first 20, 30, 40, 50 times through. New truth there. I know of a pastor who now probably is in his 90s, still preaching, but he made the comment that when he was a young preacher and had his first church out of Bible school, and he thought, what am I going to do when I have preached through the whole Bible and I've come to the end? Then what do I do? Just start over? He said, now at 90-some years of age, he said, I'm still seeing things I never saw before. God's word is inexhaustible for sure. Well, I had trouble finding, narrowing it down here. I skipped around. I had started at one place, thought that, and I would read again the next day, and I'd think, oh, really, that is really good. And but I finally kind of landed on verses 4 and 5. And so we know that we've been talked about the first verse is just kind of the title of the whole thing. He's saying who it is and what it is. And then in verses 2 to 6, he states his purpose for them, and he also states who his audience will be. And so that's where I chose verses 4 and 5. He identifies his audience there. That's always a good thing to do. As a speaker, you need to know who you're going to be speaking to if you're writing something. You know, if you're writing it to fourth and fifth graders, you're going to write it differently than someone's in a college class, right? You better. They'll feel insulted. And if you wrote something to the younger ones that was meant for an older group, you used the same paper, they wouldn't understand much of it. So let's just see who this is written for here. So in verse 4, he says, to give subtly to the simple. So that's one audience. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. And in years of when I've done before we got locked out of the jails in prison ministry, I used to tell the young men that would pray to receive the Lord, and I'd say, now, a good practice for you, as someone had told me years before, is to read the book of Proverbs every day. I said it was written by the wisest human being ever to live, and he wrote it to instruct his sons to how to live their lives. I said, if you will read it and apply it to your lives, you won't end up back here in the jail. I won't have to see you again. And so that's one. To give subtly to the simple. Well, I guess I'm allowed to skip ahead here a little bit. Verse that just comes to my mind as I stand here, seventh chapter, and I think it's the seventh verse talks about the simple-minded. It says, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a man void of understanding. So there he talked about the simple one, and then goes on about falling into the trap of the prostitute there, the simple one and the young ones that are fall prey. So he's warning them. I had a young man I knew several years ago, and his life was full of many troubles. And I said to him, and I told him about reading Proverbs, and I said, you know, who do you think's in charge of your life? And he said, well, I guess I'd phrase it this way. I said, who's in the driver's seat in your life? Who's been? And he says, well, he says, I'll have to admit, it's me, and I've been driving in the ditch most of my life. And that's where we can end up, in the ditch, if we want to be in charge and don't take the advice here. So need to not be driving in the ditch. So that is the to the simple, and then to the young man, it's to give. So there. But verse 5 goes on there. So that's one audience, one group. And in verse 5, he says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So that is kind of a little different category. He's saying you never get too wise to know too much to learn more. And, I said often when I was teaching that the hardest student to teach is one who thinks they know it all already. They're very difficult students, and to get them to realize. And but that man who is more mature, perhaps. We still have, my wife says, keeps reminding me, we're not getting older, we're maturing. But when she tells me that, I say, well, yes, but think about a piece of fruit. It matures, and then what happens next? It rots. So you've got to be careful with analogies, don't you? So a wise man will hear. And I have that circled. I'm a scribbler and a writer in my Bible, but I have a wise man will hear. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Men particularly should know this. I used to tell students in my last few years, I'd say, I wear hearing aids. I'm hearing impaired, but probably my biggest hearing impairment is I'm a man and only listen half the time. And I got a lot of approval with, they agreed with that one. But you have to, not only do we hear, but we need to listen. And listen means attentively, intelligently applying, as I think, Jesse, I forget whom, too many speakers, I get mixed up who's here. But we have to internalize it and then make an application of it to really listen. And so a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So he said, he admits, first of all, that he hasn't learned, doesn't already know it all, so I can't listen to this. And then he's attentively, actively listening so that it hasn't changes him, changes the wise man. And then a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Again, that's another category of the audience, and that he seeks out. You know, for wise, you've got to be careful who you listen to, don't you? I remember, again, if for those of you who I hear me talk very much and too much, know that I liked Larry Burkett. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but I enjoyed his teachings and enjoyed listening to him teach. And he said one time, made the comment, that many of the people that he counsels that are in financial trouble, but you know what that leads to is all other kind of family troubles, doesn't it? If one leads to the other. And he said, I find that many, many of them are in the position they are because they have listened to the advice of their Christian friends, but their Christian friends weren't getting their advice from here. As Brother Chris, he moved back there, said, this is the source of truth. And when we start applying man's wisdom and man's direction, man's ways, you know, they get us in trouble. So going back to the scripture, and I was always amazed at the amount of advice and direction there is on finances in this book. And Proverbs has some of those in itself. So the audiences, it'll apply to those who are perhaps are young, and it'll apply to those who are kind of a kindergarten Christians, just starting new, but it applies to those that are have been Christians for a while and hopefully are mature and chewing on some meat and not just drinking the milk now. It can apply to them too. God's word fits us all. There's always something there for us. And so keep digging, as Pastor alluded to, the finding the gold. Sometimes there you have to dig, you know, and if you stop, you may have stopped just above that mother lode. And so great book. I'm looking forward to the rest of it and what Larry has to say.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I've been, I love listening to all you guys first. I don't really like going last, but I love listening to y'all, you know, and I think about things like being an only child, and you're talking about getting all the whippings. You know, mama comes along and says, being the only one in the house, did you do this? Yes. Did you do this? Yes. Finally, she said, I started getting wise, started getting smart. I'm going to be smart. Did you do this? Yeah. Then all of a sudden I said, you know, if I don't do it, I can't get in trouble. Then I run off in the ditch. When I turned 17 years old, where'd you go? I run off in the ditch at 17, being a young man, because I was smart. I knew what I was doing. I was taking care of business. Whew. Then I met my best friend. Amen. At 45 years old. Amen. That's how long I drove around in the ditch. Alcohol, everything. Y'all, some of y'all heard my story. But then I started looking in the mirror. And I'd stand in the mirror right before I'd shave, and I'd look in there and I'd go, really? Seriously? Really? And then I started trying to figure out, what is the mirror? What can you look into? And it look back at you and tell you the truth and get you out of the ditch. And you guys, I didn't even know what I was going to say tonight. I said, I'm going to read the Bible because it's the truth. And then that's it. That's what I'll do. And then you started talking about getting whippings. And I started thinking about being an only child. You started talking about being in the ditch as a young man. I mean, I rode in the ditch. I had to get a motorcycle. I stayed in the ditch. Couldn't even drive a car. So I got to Proverbs verse 22. And the reason I like this particular verse is because of the question marks. So I'm going to start at 20 and go to 22. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, here comes the question. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Then I got to go to, like Brother Chris, go to the concordance. So the simple ones, the simplicity, are the ones that are easily tricked. Are you easily tricked? That's the question. Scorners, you know, they deceive. Their whole point is to deceive. And it says that they delight in it. They covet. They greatly beloved deceiving you, tricking you, getting you to think or believe something that takes you to the ditch. It goes on. It talks about fools hating knowledge. Fools, in the concordance, plainly said stupid. There's a good word. When was the last time somebody told you not to use the S word? Are you being stupid? So this is the question. It talks about the fools hating knowledge. Hate was enemy. Knowledge was an enemy to them. And what was knowledge? Being cunning and witty, being able to trick you, you know, being smart enough to trick you. So as it goes on, I have to ask everybody here with me, is that where you want to be? That's the question. Do you want to be one of the simple ones, easily tricked? Do you want to be deceived? Do you want to be a fool? You want to be stupid? Do you want to hate God's knowledge? So my answer was no, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. So it goes to verse 23 is the Proverbs now teaching you after that question, is that where you want to be? It says, turn you at my reproof, that spanking. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Then we get to go through all that beautiful stuff that Chris was talking about, all these things, the laughter and all these things that are against these scorners and these fools. And it goes down to verse 33. But, I always like the but word. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Chris talked about evil. So in my study, I had just a few places I wanted to go. I want to go to Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, and I believe beseech is a word, I didn't look it up, but I'm pretty sure it's kind of saying I'm begging you. I'm begging you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of your mind. So that takes me on over to James chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 22 through 25. I'm doing the same thing as Alan. I'm listening to the pages turn. I'm nervous. I'm like, okay, when do I start? So this is what it says in James. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I believe I talked about deceive, scorner, scorning, deceiving your own self, looking in the mirror and saying, really? Is that what you want to believe? Looking in the mirror, deceiving yourself. 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding a natural face in a glass. Hey, there we go, a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, looking into this mirror, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. A doer of the work, not just a hearer, but a doer. And that's part of renewing the mind. Hearing, we're in here listening to each other. And it's going in our mind and we're learning. Hey, wait, you know, Chris says some good stuff. Brother Mill says some good stuff. Jesse was flying. And I was thinking, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. So then I finish up and I go back to Psalms 119. 119, verse 130. And this is what the psalmist says. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. It gives understanding to the easily tricked. The entrance of thy words, and I can think about the entrance of thy words in many ways. Coming to church on Sunday and listening, hearing the word. Going to Sunday school and listening. Jesse just teaching his heart out every single Sunday and listening to those words. I can think about how does it enter me by reading the word. I read the word, it enters me. I look into the mirror and see what the mirror shows me back. Instead of being in the ditch, maybe I can be in the road if I just follow the truth and do what it says.
Amen.
Thank you.
Are you glad you came tonight?
Oh, wow.
Thank you, gentlemen. And we had a couple of others that are ready and made room for somebody else. But thank you, for gentlemen, for going to the Word and studying it. And I hope you'll jump into chapter 2 now. And you've got a couple of weeks. And so next Wednesday night, I will be teaching from chapter number 2. And I'll invite you to do that. But before you leave chapter 1, after you've had this, and after I've had this, and it was good tonight, let me just ask you tomorrow, or maybe tonight, go back through it again and just read it at a little slower clip, a little slower pace than you normally would. If you're reading it through every day, you might have a little bit faster pace that you take. Take the time. It won't take but 5 minutes or so. Take the time, maybe tonight, maybe as a family tonight. Gentlemen, maybe as the head of the family tonight. Just take a stroll through chapter 1 and allow the Holy Spirit to remind you of all the things that have been brought to the minds of all of us here tonight by these men. But also ask the Holy Spirit to show you something else from chapter 1. And then we'll move on to chapter 2 next time. All right, very good. All right, let's very quickly receive our prayer request tonight. Very quickly. And all right, let me get something to write on here. And we'll get going on that. All right, prayer request tonight. Let's remember Brother Don and his wife as they will be traveling back from overseas, and they should be coming in before long. What day do they get back? Does anyone know? Is it this coming Saturday? So they got a ways yet. All right, just a few days left. All right, so let's pray for Brother Don and his wife. All right, other prayer requests that you might have tonight. Other prayer requests, yes, sir.
My dad has his hip replacement surgery Friday.
Okay, hip replacement. All right, this is Alan's dad. That's on Friday. That's not here in town, is it?
It's at Duke.
At Duke, okay. All right. Other prayer requests that you have. Yes, ma'am.
Family of Pete Pope has passed away.
Oh.
Somebody passed away. His brother Pete Pope passed away.
All right. Is it? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Let's pray for Pete's family. Is it Pete that passed away? All right. Let's.
Billy Pope's brother Pete.
Oh, okay.
Passed away.
All right. Well, let's pray for them then.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you. All right. Very good. All right, other prayer requests. Thank you, sister. Other prayer requests. Brother Chris?
My co-worker that diagnosed with melanoma cancer of the scalp. And he just texted me before church. He was going to have most of his scalp removed.
Oh, wow.
He said he is a believer. The prayer was pretty
scary. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Is this a co-worker? Is that what it is? Okay. Wow, he's saved. Okay. Somebody, was it Miss Mills?
Yes, I just want to praise the Lord for continued healing of Ruthie.
Amen.
And Lord willing, I'll have a recheck in the morning and then hopefully be heading back to Andersonville from Chapelville.
Good. Okay. All right. Let's keep that as a matter of prayer. All right. Any others? Any others? Yes, ma'am. Good.
She's only 56 years old.
Okay. Just a youngster. All right.
And then I have a nephew in Oklahoma. He's been battling pancreatic cancer. He's having radiation treatments, and they've discovered two spots on his lung. His name is Charlie Taft.
Charlie.
T-E-F-F-T.
Taft. Okay. Thank you. I think I saw another. Yes, ma'am.
How's Gretchen doing?
I was just going to mention that. She's doing well. Becky talked to her, I think, today, this afternoon, and spent some time with her, I think, yesterday or the day before. But she's doing better today. She's had a hard time with some of the medication. And so let's do pray for Miss Gretchen as she's continuing to heal. But doing some better today, as I understand. Thank you for asking. Brother John.
My mother, she's in Tennessee right now.
Oh, okay.
So kind of worried about that because I don't think she has a hotel until Saturday morning. So she's going to have to be Friday night.
Okay. So bless your heart. All right.
She's right outside of Nashville.
That's quite a hike. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray for his mom, especially going through the gorge.
Her name's Cindy.
Okay. Do you know if she's saved or not, Jeff?
I really don't know.
Okay. Are you glad Josh got saved?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord, buddy. Praise the Lord. And I hear we've got a couple that are maybe wanting to get baptized. And so looking forward to that. All right. All right. Any other prayer requests before we go to prayer? All right. It is about 14 after, so we've gone a little longer tonight. If you'll allow me just to word our prayer for us tonight, would that be okay? And that way the workers with the Indians downstairs, you know, they may be a little loose and wanting to run. So especially if they've been inside all day. So we want to pray for them. All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. That has the idea of a working prayer. Okay. Working is effectual. Fervent is passion. James says the effectual working prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Righteous lady availeth much. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's don't pray as though it's just kind of making its way somewhere. Let's go before the Lord and ask God to deal with these. I'll not mention all of these, but as we go to the Lord, you mention them as well. Let's do this. Let's take just a few moments. Why don't this section take the bottom half of the list and look at it for a moment? This side, take the top of the list for a moment. And let's just spend about a minute or two or three in prayer. And if you'll mention those, and then I'll close us in prayer. Just in two, three, 4 minutes, I'll close us in prayer, okay? So this side, the bottom half, this side, the top half, and then we'll go to prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, tonight we are so grateful for thy word. And Father, I'm especially excited at the fact that of our men, that some of them were able to, some others were able to, but just for the lack of time or whatever. But Father, we're glad that we opened thy word tonight as a fellowship of believers. And Father, as the pastor, it just thrills me to hear these men open thy word, having studied it, having looked at it, having applied it to their own lives. And now the rest of us get to be the beneficiaries of their study. Because now we can apply these things, whether we're not wanting to fall in the ditch or we have the mirror to look at or we live it out, as Brother Corallo taught us, and just so many different things, Lord, that we've heard about tonight. That are just going to help me tonight as I go back over this again and read it at a little slower pace for my own life. And perhaps with Becky, Lord, we'll do that together and just enjoy understanding and wisdom and the five senses. And there's five key words there that we could just take one of those for each of the senses and saying, all right, I'm going to apply this and this and this and this so that my touch, that everywhere that I go, it'll have that about it. So, Lord, I thank you for that. But we do pray for these who are ill, for Miss Gretchen and the others, Lord. We pray for Pete and the setting there and this family that's involved with that. So, Lord, I pray as our Miss Marlon, as she, Lord, has that burden on her heart, that, Father, you know her heart, and we know it to the best of our ability, but you know it perfectly, Lord, and you know the setting. And we pray that you will answer that prayer that she has so fervently asked of thee and has asked us to pray about it as well. We pray for the others who have been away from us. We think about the Moody family and still not completely recovered, but we see Miss Sylvia here tonight and others. We pray for Josh's mom. Lord, not certain about her salvation, but we are certain about the gorge at night. It's not the easiest place to be. It can get a little intimidating with all the trucks. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be with her. And even as her son says, Mom, we prayed for you. I pray, Lord, that you'll bring that to her mind. And perhaps if she's not saved, that her son or others will have the opportunity of leading her to you. And if she is saved, then, Father, that knowledge will go close to her heart and remind her that she's not alone. So, Father, we pray for these many requests tonight. Many of them have already been brought before Thee, but I bring them once again by way of this final prayer to say thank You, Lord, that we have that open invitation to come before You. But we want to do it, Father, in a working knowledge of how can I be involved in this? I'll pray. Is there something else I can do? And with a passion, knowing that our prayers are not in vain, that we know that whatever we ask, if we ask it according to Thy will, You hear us, but not only do You hear us, but the Word says that You give us the petitions that we desire of Thee. So, Father, we want to pray according to Thy will tonight in all of these settings, and we'll give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.